Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour, time for Inspirational Wednesday. Words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. As always, it's a privilege and honor to come before the people of God as we explore the word of God together, giving God all honor, glory, and praise because he's worthy. It is our job. That's why we were created, to give him praise, honor, and glory. And we should take every opportunity we have to do that because God is a good God. And he's worthy to be praised. Our lesson tonight is coming out of the book of Revelation. And I had put in a printed information for you guys to read chapter 1, 2, and 3. And I pray that you are led to read the chapters. But once I started making a preparation, I was led to only do the first chapter tonight because that's like doing first things first, getting some positive understanding of what God is doing. So we're going to do the first chapter on tonight. Hallelujah. The callers are calling in. And we're going to do the second and third chapter together on next week. The title of our lesson is, and I had printed seven letters to seven churches, but our lesson tonight, the title, I decided to change it, and the title tonight is, God is trying to tell us something. God is trying to tell us something. Well, I'm going to play a song that I think is appropriate because when we reveal and look, when we look inside the revelation that is given to us in the book of Revelation, we realize that it's all a part of God's master plan. And the song that I found for tonight is called The Master Plan. So listen to the song and be prayerful about the lesson that's going to go forward on tonight. We'll come back to the throne of grace. Do you really realize that God has a master plan? And the plan was designed before the foundation of the world. He had each and every one of us included in his master plan before our inception and during our childhood and adulthood, and he's just mapping and working it out for our good. God is an awesome God, and that's why he's worthy to be praised. At this time, it's time to go to the throne of grace, and if anyone would like to lead us in prayer, you could press the one button on your phone. God is affording the opportunity towards us and for us. If anyone would like to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the giver of every perfect gift, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, he that was, is, and will be forever. Our Lord, our Savior, our Master, the great I Am. Lord, we come humbly to your throne of grace. asking that you be with us as we open up our ears, our mind, and our hearts for the Bible study that's going to go forth today as we study your word. Heavenly Father, I pray that you touch each and every one of us, and the Holy Ghost step in with illumination and revelation. Lord, we're going to study the book of Revelation on tonight, and you know you have to guide us and be with us, dear God. Use me, your vessel. I decrease as you increase. Have your way with this lesson tonight, that your people will be edified, Satan will be horrified, and you will be glorified. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Thanks for every caller that called in and everyone that may listen by the internet. Thank you, dear God, for allowing us to keep coming back week after week. I know this is an ordained thing from God, because usually things that are not real don't last as long. Have mercy upon us, dear grace, and have mercy upon us, dear God, and let your grace abound with us, dear God. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen, and thank God. Well, we have more callers called in, and I want you to know the title of the lesson tonight is God is trying to tell us something, and we are coming from the book of Revelation. We started our journey in January, beginning with Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, and all of the books of the Bible. And we finished the Old Testament. We looked at the 400 years between the Testaments, and we went into the New Testament, starting with the Gospels, hallelujah, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we visited Acts and Romans. Then we went into the Paulinia letters. We saw that there were 13 and Paul wrote them. Then we came on and there were some general letters that we had to look at before we came to the book of Revelation. And tonight, we're in Revelation, the first chapter. And I'm going to do a background. The book of Revelation is called the Revelation of Jesus Christ. Most Bibles have the top of the Bible over the name of the book of the Bible. Like the Gospels had the Gospel according to the Gospel according to Matthew, the Gospel according to John. But in the book of Revelation, they say the revelation of Jesus Christ to John. You can look at your Bible and you may have never even noticed it, but it's there. But the book of Revelation is called a revelation of Jesus Christ. Since Christ is the revelation of God, revelation means the unveiling of divine mysteries or exposure of God's program. Unveiling mysteries. You know, God reveals himself to us through the word of God. And every book God used to let us see more and more about him. But it's to be understood that we'll never know it all. And he reveals certain things at a certain time. So we, while being in the book of Revelation tonight, God is revealing, which revelation mean. And revelation is a Greek word for apocalypse. Hallelujah. That's why people talk about the apocalypse, the end times, and the different things like that. Revelation in the Greek is apocalypse. You see, Christ is both the mystery and the revealer of the mystery. When you look at the book of Revelation, you may have noticed that some of the writing is in red. That's Jesus talking. So Jesus is the one giving the information, and it's the information he's giving is about himself. You know, it's always been God and Jesus and the Holy Ghost desires for us to know them personally and learn and know more as much as we can about them. So they present it, the Bible, and everything that we need for a righteous life in a way that if we put the work in, leave some of the fullness of them. But you got to do the work. So, in essence, I could say that the book of Revelation is an autobiography of Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ himself. And John, the Apostle John, is the scriber. He's the one writing. This is not the revelation of John. You see, Revelation is not a horror story as many believe. To the Christians, there are some wonderful promises for a fantastic future. It is only a horror story for those who have decided to refuse the free gift of salvation that Jesus offers to whosoever will. You see, in Revelation, it is Jesus speaking, and he's letting us know time and time again, as you will see in this first chapter, that he is the truth, that he is the real deal. You see, Jesus not only knows the end from the beginning, but he knows the beginning from the end. You see, he's the Alpha and Omega. You see, and there's nothing before him, and there will be nothing after him. You see, Revelation was written for sincere and humble servants who are called by God. And when I say called by God, I mean that God put out the call and they accepted the invitation. Who seek to learn what he has been doing, is doing right now, and will be doing in the future. See, that's revelation, y'all. You see, God never leaves his people in the dark. He has an appointed time to reveal his master plan for mankind and to do what he do. And tonight we see how he's doing that. He's using the book of Revelation to give us the glimpse, to unveil the mysteries to us about his master plan. That is so awesome. See, God have a master plan for mankind, and it's in the book of Revelation. You know, if you read it, you're going to see that he will reward those who diligently seek him in faith. Because many times he's going to say in the book, those who have an ear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying. So all of us that have an ear that can hear, you know this revelation is for you. Revelation is placed last in the Bible for a reason. Not only was it the last book written, but with the hopes that its reader will be familiar with the other books of the Bibles which came before it. You see, Revelation does not stand alone. In it are quotations, reference, and prophecies that has already been said in some other part of the Bible. This is nothing new, because the Word of God says there's nothing new under the sun. It is as if God is saying, with the book of Revelation, I'm going to start with Genesis. I'm going to stop at Jude. He's saying, I'm going to wrap it all up and put it in a nutshell, and I'm going to give it to you so you can have a clear understanding. He said, everything that I'm saying in Revelation is not the first time it's being said. But I done told you over in the different books, Philippians, Galatians, all the letters that Paul wrote telling you, get right, church, before you go home, telling you that the Antichrist is coming, telling you how to love one another, telling you about sin and condemnation. He said, I told you all of that. But now I'm going to put it all together for you. And it's nothing that I haven't said before, but I'm going to say it again. You see, to study Revelation with knowledge, well, some knowledge of the rest of the Bible, is like trying to study calculus before learning arithmetic. Biblical history can be divided into two periods, roughly following the division of the Old Testament, which is the age of the law. We come into the New Testament, and in the New Testament, you know, we came into grace, but it's called the church age, which we are living in now. You see, the church is composed of those individuals who have by faith accepted Christ as their Lord, Savior, and Master. See, God told us that in John 1 and 12, and he told it to us in the book of Acts. Therefore, the churches are people rather than denomination. Religions are building. It is the body of Christ of which he is the head. Hallelujah. Told us that in Ephesians. You see, the church age is the period of time from Pentecost, which was in the book of Acts, to the period in which the church age will end. Told us that in Matthew's. It ain't nothing new, y'all. Because this is what he said. Matthew 16 and 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You see, that was a part of the master plan. And you see, tonight we see that he's writing to the seven churches that were established. And yes, there were more churches than seven, but he picked these because partly because of the location. Hallelujah. And for whatever else his reasons are. But that's the church age. It began at Pentecost. And we now, 2,000 years, and we read in Revelation and we write in his book. We read in Revelation that's written in the Bible. You see, God kept it. Jesus kept his promise. Jesus, God, same person. Jesus has kept his promise. And have been growing for 2,000 years. And it's not going to stop. The church age will be until the rapture. So if you ever ask what age are we living in, you're living in a church age. We under the dispensation of time of grace, but we living in a church age. And it's not going to end until the rapture when Jesus come back from heaven to receive his bride, which is the church. And he's going to give all of us our rewards according to our deeds, not our sins. Until then, the church carries on in hope. And it's asked to stand firm. Some background. So if I look at the scriptures and I read the first, second, and third verses, and the verses reads as follows. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. Y'all following? This is no nothing to be ashamed of. Really and truly, if you take time and read the book of Revelation, you're going to see that it's a love letter. You know, when we pray, we say God is the love of our soul. How you know it? If you read Revelation, you can see all that he's done and doing and promised to do for you. And he's giving you the assurance that you're going to make it through. And he gave his son for you. So the scripture says the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto the servants, that's us, things that must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it. When they say signified, it conveys the truth by signs and wonders. And he sent it and signified it by his angel, which was a messenger, unto his servant John, 2, who he bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Now watch this. 3, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein. He said you're going to be blessed if you just hear the word and become a doer of the word. He's saying get ready. He said it's going to be a short time. And he said after that, for the time is at hand. God is prepping us, y'all, to be about our Father's business. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Each and every one of us have to stand in the gap for somebody. It could be somebody on your job. It could be somebody in your home. It could be somebody in your neighborhood. You know, this book of Revelation opened up with letting us know that God is the author. He gave this revelation to Jesus, who gave it to the angel, who gave it to John. John is not the author. Only the one who wrote it down, what he saw. It then includes a blessing for everyone who read it, hear it, and do what it says. He wants us to know in this book of Revelation, as he started off, that time is running out. So if we look at verses 4-6, and they say, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia Minor. And Asia Minor is what we know today as Turkey. And what they did, they took the churches that was in line on the side of the border of Asia, and he did those seven churches. Because you see, the letters that was written was to go to each church because it had a message for them and it has a message for us. And it was going to keep passing the message, the letter, and it would still be appropriate. Because any time you hear, you know, the word of God, plenty of things you done got straight, so that part wouldn't affect you, just to bring things to your memory. Hallelujah. And then, so that's what it was. It was the churches in Asia Minor. And I want you to know tonight that these were literal churches. There was churches with congregations in them. Jesus went to John. God gave Jesus the revelation. Jesus gave it to the angel, the messenger, to bring to John. And John was to get it to these churches. These were literal churches. Plenty of things in the book of Revelation shouldn't be taken literally. So that's why I'm putting emphasis that these was really churches. And what he started in his letter, he said, grace unto you and peace from he which is and which was and which is to come. Right there he's talking about God. God was before, right? The foundation of the world. God was, he is and he was. And which is to come. So he's talking about the Father now. And then he says, from the seven spirits Now, there's some controversy, different interpretations about the seven spirits. The seven spirits, most people believe that is talking about the Holy Spirit. And when it has that number seven, which means completion and it is finished and it is fulfilled, it could be talking about the characteristics of the Holy Ghost by using the number seven. Remember, there's a number, there's a lot of numbers, symbols, and signs in the book of Revelation. Some believe that it was like attributes of the spirit of wisdom, of understanding, of counsel, of might, of knowledge, and of fear of the Lord. And they say that's what represents the seven spirits. But can't you see all of those things in the Holy Ghost as well? And so it might have said the number seven with the spirit to let you know that the Holy Ghost is real and complete. God already said he was and is and be able to come. Now watch this. Fifth verse. And from Jesus Christ, they're talking about the Son of God, who is a faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. And if you guys don't have your Bible, you're going to be missing something because I'm reading what the Word of God say, and hopefully you read it. But they say, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead? When they say that, they're talking about Jesus Christ. That's not a mystery. If you read that, they're talking about Jesus Christ. You got to remember, in the Bible, some people were raised from the dead. Lazarus was raised from the dead, but Lazarus died again and went to the grave, and he didn't get back up. You know, they raised that guy, Jairus' daughter from the dead, but she died again and went in the grave. You remember the Shunammite woman brought her son to Eli? And he laid upon him on the bed. That was the woman when she realized he was dead. She didn't give up. She put him on a pony and she brought him to Elijah. Hallelujah. Elijah laid down on him and he woke up and he was, you know, raised from the dead. But he died. But you see, when Jesus Christ died and was buried and then he rose, he never had to die again. That's why he's called the first begotten of the dead. Hallelujah. And the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that love us. They say unto Jesus, they're talking about Jesus, unto him that loved us. And you know they're talking about him because right after that they say, washed us from our sins in his own blood. And six says, has made us kings and priests unto God. And it says, his father. So when they say unto God and they say his father, God is Jesus' father. So you know you're talking about Jesus. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That was the fourth verse to the sixth verse. But watch this. You know earlier when I said him that was and is to come, and I said that was the Father, and we looked and saw when they talked about the seven spirits and the number seven was just maybe talking about the completion and how a total package the Holy Ghost was and how effectively he works and how he have tunnel vision to the will of the Father. So we talked, the scripture described God and then it described the Holy Spirit and then they say washed in his blood. We know that's Jesus Christ. So I could come up with a conclusion right here is that here they talking about the Trinity at work, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. You see, the first purpose of the letter was to communicate with the churches and also to us. Y'all know we the church, right? But they had a church, these seven churches in Ephesus, I'm sorry, in Asia Minor. And the letters went to them. And the church was the building, and the people in the church was the congregation. And we are the church. And those people were the church. Because Jesus ain't coming back for no building. He's not going to come and say, Greater Liberty, please stand. He's not going to say, Greater St. Stephen, please stand. Jesus is coming back for his bride, which is the church. And that's each and every one of us. The first part of this letter is to communicate to us, the church, that time is running out. But to those who have been washed by the blood, the book of Revelation, through all of its pages, is letting you know, if you have been washed by the blood of Jesus, if you accepted God's Son, the book of Revelation with all the gloom and the doom and the evil and the fighting and the wars, he's letting you know, I got you. A love letter, y'all. I got you. You see, the second purpose is to reveal seven different types of individual churches throughout history and instruct them in God's truth. Revelation. It is identified with something being finished or complete. It talks about completeness or divine perfection and fulfillment. You see, each letter that we're going to talk on last week, and I'm saying this because he said to the seven churches, each letter, first, it exalts them, and then it encourages them. And if there's any sins or faults, it rebukes them, and it gives them instructions on repentance, and then it gives them hope and assurance of their salvation through Jesus Christ. If y'all read chapter 2 and 3, you saw all of that. I'm not saying anything that you didn't see or that you may already know, and if you know it already, it's a refresh. If you don't know it, then come on aboard, because the more you know, the more you glow. Come in a cloud, and every eye shall see him, and they also that pierced him. Saying that, you know, everybody going to see Jesus. The good, the bad, and the ugly. He said even the ones that pierced him in his sides, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. You know, Jesus is going to come back, and you're going to, you know, I don't know what you're going to say, but, you know, the ones that pierced him have to say, oh, Lord, if I would only knew. Or if you got something in your life that you want to get straight, or you want to do towards God, read more, show more, go more, give more, love more, encourage more, all of these things. And if you keep putting it on the back burner, and then Jesus come out of the cloud like this scripture say, and you have to meet him face to face, you know, they say that all kindreds, all kind of people on the earth shall wail before him. And some probably may be wailing of joy, and some of it might be wailing a sorrow. And then he goes on to say, even so, amen. And then the eighth verse say, I am the Omega, the beginning and the end. The beginning and the ending, saith the Lord. Is and which was and which is to come. See, in this first chapter, he's telling us who he's writing to. He's telling us why, but he's making it very clear who he is, who his son is. and who is his divine spirit. And he's giving you instructions for you to get it right, because the time is running out. Hallelujah. You see, these scriptures are talking about the rapture, him coming in the cloud. Everybody should see him. And everybody going to see him. Not only the ones that's going to be raptured, but those who will not be raptured will also see him. He even went on to let you know how everything is going to be seen. He said even the ones who crucified him, stuck, pierced him in his side. He was talking about the Roman soldiers and even the Jews for whatever part they played. And you see, we won't have a part in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ because it happened so long ago. But, you know, he used this verse. He said, when I was hungry, you fed me not. They say sometimes you got to watch how you treat people because you might be entertaining angels. That's your scripture. It ain't me. He said, when I needed clothes, you left me naked. When I was outdoor, you didn't take me in. And it would be a sad day for Jesus to say, you remember that day? That was me. And I guess some of that could be part of the wailing. Hallelujah. And this will, all of the apocalypse and the wars and all of this is going to happen after the rapture. And you should know this because thank God. Because the Christians is going to be gone with Jesus. And this is the end times that y'all, we're going to go through in the rest of the book. It's going to happen after that. So that's why I say it's a love letter, y'all. He's saying it's nothing to fear. I got you. But I want you to know that the mark of the beast and the Antichrist ruling and all these things, if you accepted the Lord with your whole heart and Jesus has come back and performed the rapture, you're not going to be here then. And if you're here, when those things are happening, you're going to know you didn't make it. You see, God speaks throughout the scriptures in Revelation to let us know that they are the real deal. If you didn't believe that God did it, can do it, and is doing it now, if you read Revelation, he's not leaving no wheel unturned. Almost every scripture he lets you know, I am the beginning, the end. You know, I am the one that was and is to come. I am, you know, and he keep telling us. He said, yeah, my son who, you know, washed in your blood. Look at this here. He's letting you know in case you didn't know. And if we get to verse 9, John, who also am a brother and a companion in tribulation. John said, I'm just like y'all and in the kingdom. We are in the kingdom of God. And patient of Jesus Christ was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He said, I was in the spirit on the day of our Lord and heard behind me a great voice of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega. Here you go again. The first and the last. And what thou seest, he's telling John, write it in a book and send it to the churches which are in Asia. He said, now he taking, he named the church. He said, give it to Ephesus and to Samaran and to Pergamum, however you pronounce it, Pergamum, and to Thyatira and to Sardia and to Philadelphia. And to Laodicea. He said, send them to them. See, he wanted to make his message plain. Plenty of time God is telling you to do something, God's message don't come all cloudy. It may be the level of comprehension that you have. You could only get so much, so it seemed cloudy. So God took time now and gave him the seven letters he wanted. No mistake. Well, John ain't going to be able to say, well, I thought you wanted, and I thought. He gave it to him clear. You see, now in this first chapter, John speaks of himself. You see, John was exiled to an island called Patmos, which was a prison where John had been placed for spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was an island. It was sort of a prison. John is the only disciple that was not martyred. And God he wrote it from the beginning of the before the foundation of the world was formed. See, certain things is already in place just because, not because of you. John was the only disciple, apostle that wasn't martyred. John lived his life through. He lived it on an island, but he lived. No one took his life. So you see, John was on this island, and they had him like in prison because they figured if they got him away from everybody, he would have nobody to preach to. And while John was on this island, he was, I'm sure lonely and wanted to shed a word, but look what happened. Jesus showed up. Hallelujah. You see, what the devil had set up for the bad, God turned it around for the good. Y'all don't know how God is operating in y'all lives. Imagine if John would have been kicking and complaining. Jesus needed him to be all by himself, evidently, because that's what he did. But Jesus, see what the devil set up for the bad, God turned it around for his good and for his glory. You see, John said, I was in the spirit. That means he was seeing visions. But he heard a loud voice, the scriptures say, like a trumpet. And he couldn't take it. So he said, I was in the spirit, meaning in a vision. He heard a voice. Jesus identifies himself, because he got fearful, and tell him what to write down and send it to the seven churches. Hallelujah. And goes on to name them. That's what happened there. And if you look at verses 12 through 16, it says, and I turned to see the voice that spake to me. This is John. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Now, the seven golden candlesticks represent the seven churches. And 13 said, in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. And that means that it was Jesus standing in the midst of them. He said, it seemed like the Son of Man. See, John knew Jesus. He recognized Jesus because he had lived with Jesus 3 years. And see, Jesus is standing in the midst of them. And he was clothed with a garment down to his foot, with a gird about his paps, with a golden griddle. What they're saying, girdle. This is saying he was dressed as a high priest. We just taught some lesson about Jesus as our high priest, how he became our high priest, and what he does for us as our high priest. John is telling us just now how he's dressed. His head and his hair was white like wool. A lot of people say that Jesus is a black man because the Bible says his hair is wool. This is the actual scripture out of King James Version of the Bible, and it says His head and his hair was white like wool. It didn't say his hair was wool. It was white like wool, as white as snow. And you see, the white hair here represents wisdom and a divine nature. And he goes on to say his eyes were as a flame of fire. You see, this symbolized judgment or of evil. And his feet was like brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice was the sound of many waters. You know how water sounds, and it sounds, and it sounds, and it sounds. And he had in his right hand seven stars. The seven stars represent the seven angels. And the seven angels could be literal angels, or some people believe it could have been the leader of the church, the seven people. But in his right hand he had seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, which symbolized, the two-edged sword symbolizes the power and force of his message. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And they say that with the sun, you know, they say in the New Jerusalem, we're going to probably see that somewhere in the book of Revelation. They say you won't need no light, because Jesus is so radiant and so bright like the light of the sun. This is how we know when John saw him so bright, he probably said unto himself, wow, Jesus is the light of the world. Hallelujah. And if we go from the 17th to the last verse in the first chapter, it reads, and when I saw him, I fell to my feet dead. And he laid his right hand on me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. See, they telling him, look, John, I'm the one who's living and was dead. He's not just telling this to John. Remember, this letter is for us because we are the church. And he's given us his credentials and who he is in this book of Revelation. Because, you see, he's saying, you know, I'm giving it to you again. You know, now after this, for as a word from me, from Revelations, from me, in a sense, for those who never accepted me, check it out, I'm the real deal. He's saying, I done told y'all all of this before, but my love for you, I'm taking time to tell you again. The book of Revelation is Jesus Christ reiterating who he is, who we are, what he planned for us before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. Read it for yourself. It's a love letter. I'm starting at 17 again. When I saw him, I fell at his feet, and he laid his hand upon me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Saying, I'm not going to die no more, man. And then he tells John, amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. 19. Write the things which you had seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be thereafter. 20. The mystery of the seven stars. Now watch how he explained it to you. You know, people say the book of Revelation is so hard and it's not for you to understand, and you read and you go crazy. and you're this and you're that. First of all, use your faith and be prayerful with the Spirit. And I believe you could come to the conclusion that God is not in the business of making his people go crazy, number one. God wouldn't took time to inspire and take John and get the angels for him to write revelation that you can't understand it. Because it's a message for you from him. It's a love letter from him to you. Why wouldn't you be able to understand it? You got to study. You know, Timothy told us about study to show ourselves approved. Ain't nothing changed. And God put the book of Revelation at the end because he knew you was going to have need them bits and pieces from the other books. And 20 said, write it down which thou hast seen, the things which are and the things which shall be thereafter. 20, the mystery, now watch, the mystery of the seven stars. This is in the Bible. You don't even need to study Bible. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand. Y'all remember what the seven stars was? And the seven golden candlesticks. Look what Jesus said. Come on, y'all, let me show you this. And I'm in the first verse. I mean the first chapter. He said the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. That does not sound like somebody don't want you to understand something. You see, God's glory as seen in Christ. And Christ is God's glory. Even in a vision was too much for John to handle. And Jesus talked about having the keys. He said, I have the keys for hell and death. See, you no longer have to be locked up and burdened down with your sins because I took them away. And I washed you, as they said in Revelation, in the blood. Jesus took the sting out of death. Sound like a love letter to me. God is just giving you information. You know, when Jesus, God is just moving a curtain back and revealing some more of himself. He said, come in if you partake and if you read and if you study and you spend a little time in it, you're going to get to know me even better. You're going to grow even more in grace and the knowledge of our Lord. He said, because revelation is the unveiling. He said, I'm unveiling to you, for you. But what you do with it depends on you. That's our lesson for tonight. And I couldn't go further, I believe, without seeing how Jesus is starting off to put all of us at ease as we tackle the Word of God one verse at a time. And I have a sister, and I'm not going to call her name. She'll probably tell me tonight, you know, that's the way I like it, one verse at a time. Which it wasn't one verse, but, you know, I kind of stayed within the verses because I had to elaborate on the symbols and different things like that. But it is my prayer. I hope that you receive something. I hope that you embrace the book of Revelation with new eyes, and I hope that you study in it to see, you know, ask the Holy Ghost. They say you can't understand the book of Revelation without the Spirit. So before you read, I pray you pray. I pray that you I pray that you pray before you read. And God has such a beautiful journey in store for us in the book of Revelation. But that's it. That's our lesson for tonight. If anyone would like to say anything, please press the button. Any questions, any concerns, words of encouragement, whatever, you could press the one button at this time and I'll open the mic. And to be more understood, and it became smaller. The book of Revelation is going to do the same thing if we continue with the guidance of God as we go through it. Anyone would like to say anything? So since no one has pressed the one button, and it's now the 9:30 hour, I'm going to do a benediction. And I'm going to come from 2 Peter 3:18. And the word of God says, and see what we're doing tonight in the book of Revelation. The book says, grow in grace and the knowledge. We're trying to get more and more knowledge of our Father, our Son, and our Holy Ghost. But grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Next week, if you haven't read the second and third chapter, that's where we'll be coming out. I'm going to do the second and the third chapter together because the seven letters to the seven churches in Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey, is in the second and the third chapter of Revelation. So that's what we'll be on next week. So be prayerful, study, and come back with a willing spirit and an open mind. They say you can't understand the book of Revelation without an open mind. And if it's God's will, I'll be back on next week, and I pray that each and every one of you join me. God bless you, and God keep you is my prayer. And remember, if you take care of God's business, he's going to take care of yours. In the mighty name of Jesus, I love each and every one of you, even though I don't really know some of you. Every time I show up, you should know that's love. So with all of that being said, I can say good night, and God bless each and every one of you.